My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.
Welcome to the wrestling show, everyone. I'm your host, along with my other host. We're two hosts at once, Billy. Do you know that's possible? I'm Cab Manning, he's Billy Body.
Yeah, I've seen or heard podcasts with like six hosts.
And they're terrible, right? Because the microphones don't ever work. They're far away.
Yeah, it sounds like... I mean, there's one main host, but he's a big-ass piece of shit.
and by his own admission. That's the best part about it. You know, I mean, the guy admits to it, so...
That's such a great, like, intro.
Oh, it's a fucking golden intro. I first had it where he just says he's a big ass. And then I said, oh, he followed up with a piece of shit, too. So, good for him. Because we would have a lot to talk about with that horse-tooth jackass, Derek Montilla. But by the grace of God for him, a shitload of stuff happened today in the WWE. And there's no longer any employees in WWE, Billy. It's Vince, Triple H, and Stephanie. They're the only ones there.
I mean, it will get to that point. So you remember there was a Raw once where it was just everybody was on strike, and it was just CM Punk and Triple H and two or three other guys, I think it was.
I don't remember that.
There was a series of an episode of Raw where they fired. I think it was an angle where they fired everybody.
Oh, okay. I do. Stayed
and rest. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Man, nobody on the show. I was almost thinking, do you see old Drake Maverick's post, old Spud, with the crying on his Twitter? You know, of course, the guy cares about his job, shit like this. But I said, wow, right away it made it look like this is a good storyline. He needs to win the Cruiserweight title not to be fired. Didn't that's what it seemed like to you?
Sorry, who are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Stop texting, you fucking asshole. I said Drake Maverick.
Okay.
He crying on his Twitter, right? I said, this looks like a fucking storyline that he has to win the Cruiserweight Championship in order to keep his job.
But how does it look like a storyline?
Because that's what he said. He was like... Oh, they're letting me still compete in the Cruiserweight tournament. I'm like, oh, it's probably, you know, obviously they recorded, right? So it's like, well, how are they going to explain that he's on TV? And he's like, I'm going to give everything I have.
Why is he bothering to like try and hold that? Because he wants his job back, right?
I would think he's like, you know, it's who knows if I'll ever work here again and all that kind of stuff. But boy, they made it sound like it was a storyline. Like, I got to fucking win this title, you know, to fucking save anything. Because they couldn't fire him if he was the champion or something.
Yeah, well, they will. But, like, I can...
I assume he loses.
I mean, they could have put that into it. But, I mean, some of these people that have gone is, like, really surprising. They're, like, into new contracts and everything. I don't know how the compensation works on being fired in the middle of a deal.
I guess there's their contractors. It doesn't. You just say, see ya. And that's why how Vince gets away with his bullshit, with it not being, you know, employees and not getting their health benefits and all that kind of shit. But meanwhile,
but if you hire someone to a massive contract and they under deliver and they don't get over or whatever, like you can't just get out of it. Contracts are, that's not how they work.
You would think it, and that's the funny part, because they can't go work for anyone else because they have a contract, but they could just get fucking shit canned. So it's like, I thought a contract means, yeah, you can shit can me, but you got to pay me for the rest of the fucking time. But it doesn't seem to be. Otherwise, like, Gallows and Anderson just fucking, you know, got rehired. Didn't they have a whole fucking thing?
Yeah, their contracts are definitely not like those sports contracts where they pay out the remainder of the term. So, like, obviously, if you sign for $1 million a year for 4 years and you get fired in the first year, then they've got to pay you off $3 million, or they've got to come to an agreement. I think these ones we've seen before where guys wanted to go but they have like dates left over because they haven't competed enough. There's a minimum competition like phase on the on these, like a minimum compete phase. So I would think that there's they probably paid them off their like downside guarantees, which is probably, I would say, 10% of the contract.
Well, didn't they say, like, I read somewhere or whatever, it was like Vince just saved $4 million. And it was like, someone said, oh, so he got back his money for Goldberg.
Yeah, is that all he got? All these contracts were, and he saved him $4 million.
That's what was said. I don't know how much true that is, but it sounds like it would be more.
Yeah, I mean, who worked that out?
Oh, I don't know. I was just told that from Twitter. Somebody saw it and told me.
Well, I think most guys now sign five-year deals. So if you're looking at Gallows and Anderson, would have earned $5 million each over the course of 5 years.
Sorry, really?
$5 million altogether, sorry. So they would have earned $2.5 million each. So by firing them, what if you haven't saved $5 million? Because they obviously had to pay the downside guarantee. So this guy's insinuating that they would have been paid, I don't know, like $4 million of it.
Well, I mean, that's like from not just them being fired, it's from everybody being fired.
Yeah, I know, but it depends how you think about it, because like without paying all these people, you save a lot more than $4 million, because even Gallows and Anderson are going to make $5 million. So it depends what you have to pay them off. But you also don't maintain their services anymore. So I think basically, I reckon you get paid your downside guarantee. But they always say it has come to terms with the release.
Yeah, like, so yeah, that means they'd have to talk about, okay, what am I getting to get out of here?
Yeah, that's what I think happens, because they always say, like, don't pick up your phone and all these jokes, because I think they have to come to terms with the release. So I think if the downside guarantee is 10% of the contract and Gallows and Anderson are like, look, you can stay here on your contract forever, we're not gonna use you, but you're gonna end up getting 10% of the $2.5 million that it's worth, so you're gonna get $250,000. But then they could also be like, fine, we'll take it, we'll just sit here, I'll just get $250,000 for the next 5 years, and then they could, in the middle of the contract, they say, fuck it, we might as well use you.
What do you think of them doing this? Do you think this is like anything else, like if it's a construction job and during this corona time people got laid off? Do you feel it's the same type of like, what's the big deal, they fucking laid off people? It's a lot of fucking people, and I'm like, well, they're still getting money from, you know, networks, you know, USA and fucking Fox and shit like that. They aren't getting the ticket sales. That's one. But I don't know if it needed this much of a fucking gutting. Were they making that much money, these writers and shit like that, and the agents, like fucking Kidman's out of there, Finley's out of there. Hell, I didn't even know the Colognes were fucking employed by them.
Yeah, I think some of these people will come back, but I just don't see the point of paying these people. And I think maybe it's also an excuse to fire a lot of people, whereas before it was you're worrying that they're going to go to AEW or whatever, and they still. But I mean, people saying that, I mean, I've seen that even in our group chat. It's like
they wanted to keep Harper just to fucking not have him go and weren't using him. It was like, what in the world?
But this is a period where AEW are making the same losses as that, or not making, going through the same losses as them, in terms of like, they're not going to just jump and hire these people for their empty arena shows either.
Yeah.
So it's a safe time to do it. And whoever they do want back, they can get back. But
it's kind of, they feel that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think they feel that they have the edge in terms of being able to hire them back when they want to. And also they feel like they will create a gap between themselves and AEW, because I think they perceived this situation going on through to the summer, like, and I'm talking August or so, whereas AEW filmed up to May, and eventually there's only going to be one show on TV.
I almost feel like it's like in NFL, you have practice squad players, and you sign them, they're under you, but you put them to the practice squad, And if you do need somebody, you could pull from there. But if another team wants one of them, they're free to go in and take them and pay for it. So I almost feel like they go, all right, here's the guys we'll let float out there. Maybe we'll take them back, like you said, and pay later. But you risk, all right, they're going to cherry pick some of these guys. We should know that some of these guys are guaranteed to not be there. But there's also guys that are for sure going to fucking be around if we want them back. Like, I was thrilled that Zack Ryder finally got canned. I'm a horrible person, but I was very glad. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
For what reason?
I feel like he fucking just coasts. And he's just like, I don't care. Just give me my paycheck and I go home. Like, I'm not looking to be good. I'm not looking for anything. Very content. He's awful. I think he's terrible personality. He can't do a fucking microphone. They got that goofy fucking smile. And I don't know why he stuck around so long. And it's just their fucking opening match jobber in the dark match. That's what he's fucking good for. And then he got himself over on a fucking YouTube or whatever. And they killed him immediately as soon as that fucking happened. So finally, after all these calls, and which is really weird when they release things, they don't just sit in a room, get every name together, and go, here's the list. It's every 5 minutes there's another fucking name. So these people are sweating to death. Ryder's hiding from his phone.
Onto their phones.
Oh, you think it's because they can't get a hold of people? So they can't?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would think just put out a fucking paper. These guys are gone. If you're not answering your fucking phone, then hey, that's I'm sorry.
Yeah, then how do you? But then you can't come to terms with a release.
Oh, I gotcha. With the terms thing. Well, I mean, they could have done all this and then told us tomorrow.
Yeah, they could have done it like that. I don't get why they do it so staggered, but I mean,
like, they have to get it out there.
That's the whole thing. In terms of when, if you don't come to terms with, if you don't come to terms with your release, that does mean that you can just sit there and get paid.
That's crazy. Because who wouldn't do it then? You'd be like, eh, fuck it then. I don't care. I mean, if that'd be Ryder. He'd be like, no, I don't want to be released. I'll just get paid and I won't be on TV. Because he's fucking not on TV anyway, so there's got to be some weird thing in it.
Oh, no, I just got a message here from Vince Russo. One second, let me just read this one. Richard, to set up your appearance on the show tomorrow. We start around 1 p.m. Bring you in after the first segment. I'll email you a link. Join us on StreamYard. What the fuck is that? Around 10, 20 minutes after one, depending on how long the first segment goes. If you've never used it, it's free, blah, blah, blah. Actually, Vince wants to know, second email, Vince wants to know if you're able to do next Thursday the 23rd instead. Disco's having computer issues. We have no idea what time we're actually going to do record tomorrow. So it's come from like a representative, this Jeff Lane. I imagine he runs his show anyway.
Yeah.
Jeff Lane.
Oh, yeah, he's part of it, actually. He's on the show.
When's the 23rd? It's another week away. Maybe that's better. Maybe I'll be fucking well by then.
Yeah, because you got the corona.
No, that's long gone. It's other shit now. It's lingering around. I've got like one hearing in like one ear and all this kind of shit.
You know, I was going to say, you should tell that guy my breaking news and say, does Vince want to announce this on the show? Or is that scary because you don't know from that source of mine? I can understand why it would be.
Yeah, it's not. I don't want to go on there like and break any like stories or anything.
Because God forbid.
Because God forbid, like that will be the one time. That will be the time where it doesn't happen. Plus, the thing is that with your story, I've not been able to
confirm.
Match it with what anyone else thinks. But I mean, even with that sense, it's like, I mean, you could change that story to simply, they're looking for other places or to hold the show, etc. Or, I mean, that was the thing. WrestleMania was supposed to be held from multiple locations, but in the end, all that meant was the graveyard and the warehouse that they managed to locate for the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
and the rest of it was all just way too much in the performance center. I really think they could have got away with that. I mean, they got away with it anyway, but they could have really got away with it, and it could have been something good if it was just five matches a night broken up by those gimmicks that they did.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who watches, and they said it took them a week to get through the entire WrestleMania. And he said it was 3 days for just the fucking Cena match. He was not a fan. He was like, what the fuck am I watching? And it took him 3 days to get through it. I can understand it because it's an acid trip and all that kind of shit. Should we tell the news that I did, or are you gonna, you're trying to save that to find out to be able to announce it for yourself?
No, I'll save that to, we'll stick here to these releases in terms of, because I don't even really want to talk about Raw tomorrow, Raw yesterday, sorry.
No, there's nothing to fucking, I mean, you mean Superstars.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You got like Rollins coming out there and looking like he's going to be the number one contender.
And after he just lost.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you just filled it up with women's qualifiers, yeah, and now you have the men's qualifiers. I tell you what, we can do my, I could talk about my news that I put out today or yesterday, I think it was, in terms of this show not being completely live.
Yeah, very odd.
This one that happened just now, that was completely live. But moving forward, so to backtrack this,
they never said live either, did they?
They were, though.
Because I was looking for them to say live, and I'm like, huh, they never said it.
No, they were at that point. But backtracking here, the process of what actually happened with the WWE this week. I'm just moving away from the talent roster cuts notes that I've got here. I'm getting a bit of Vince McMahon in his committee with Dana White and people with Donald Trump to see how they're going to restart the economy.
Yes. this is who Trump is turning to. How do we start this again? And then I'm hearing LA is not opening for a fucking another year for large gatherings and fucking sports and everything like that. And it's like, oh my God. This can't all fucking right, so- be. Go ahead.
So apparently on the 1st of April, DeSantis issued an executive order for essential services after speaking with the president. Then on the 9th, he amended the order to include professional sports and media production, including entertainers with a national audience. Though that means it has to be on TV around the world. On the same day, so that allows WWE to go ahead with their shit. On the same day, Linda McMahon went on to... where is it? Linda McMahon, wife of CEO of WWE, former at WWE CEO and former president of the United States cabinet minister, announced her at president of the United States Super PAC will spend $18.5 million in Tampa and Orlando. And on the 10th, the next day, the report comes out that Vince has decided to resume live at WWE TV in the performance center. And this was like with fucking full crew, with like these women like holding microphones again and everything. So it's like a full thing. But from what I hear, he knew this was coming, but they still thought it was best to proceed with doing the five SmackDowns in a row that they were going to tape on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, he had a shit fit writing, I think around about the fourth or fifth episode of SmackDown, and he was just like, I don't want to, this is bullshit.
Probably because he can't think of anything anymore creatively. I bet he's like Prince and Michael Jackson. You know how they lost it at the end, right? They didn't have any, you know, creative juices anymore. And I think that's very much the same thing. Like, he lost his mojo.
So he got frustrated with going that far ahead. And then when it came down to the taping on Friday, only a small group of people knew that he was fed up of it and he wasn't going to be shooting all those shows. Mm-hmm. And when they were starting on to taping two, he then told them that we're stopping now. And I believe the number I was giving was 12 people didn't get to do anything and were just sent home. and probably some of them may have got released. I mean, that might be part of it as well, in terms of why he decided that he didn't want to do the tapings the other day. But in regards to Raw, the people that were flown in, they did the live Raw yesterday. And then if people, just to stop some people going back with the next week for no reason, they did film stuff with them. So Aleister Black and Austin Theory is filmed along with Mysterio and Murphy is filmed. So stuff like that, which they're going to put into the show. And I also heard that they filmed a bunch of just nonsense combo matches in that they may just fill in. So this isn't an official match, but you might, I mean, like there might be like a Nia Jax Liv Morgan match just done.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it in any point, like be it week 2, 3, 4, 5, shit like that. With being careful, obviously, not to hoe over to the commentators in case people spot anomalies like them wearing different clothes or whatever. So,
Vince doesn't cease to fucking amaze me anymore with nonsense. I don't know what the fuck happens to people, I think, when they get old. They lose their fucking minds.
What do you mean? Like him specifically, or are you talking about the elderly?
It seems like fucking any fucking person who gets old, like, especially these people who had talent, they lose the fucking talent, they get fucking very strange, and it's like, won't listen to anybody else. It's like, what the fuck, man? So this is just...
He's been losing it, but he hasn't really been with it for a while. I mean, you got to think, like, I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm going to go on his podcast soon, but I mean, Russo carried a lot of stuff into that back in 97, because at the time he let it go from what it was in 93 to 96, which was with all the Doink the Clown shit and all that, and the Duke the Dumpster Drosy, and that was all Vince. Those mm-hmm. like with those occupational gimmicks and all that shit. And Vince Russo was the one that apparently said to him, "This is crap. Like, this is, nobody wants to see this," after having a really low Raw in 97. And then eventually they brought him in and said, and Vince was like, I mean, at least then he could recognize it. That's the difference. At least he could recognize and go, this is what the show needs to be, like Howard Stern and all sure. this kind of shit, apparently, right? Now he can't recognize anything either. So it's even worse, even though he has more writers. And from everything I'm hearing, like, even though I have ideas and I give ideas to wrestlers and I put ideas out on here and in other platforms, I'm hearing that the writers there are talented anyway. So in terms of there's good ideas that don't get used. So if I was there, for example, working there and shooting out ideas, etc., mm-hmm. they would be just among the various other good ideas. So for example, the Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match did get made by creative people. Like, he wasn't behind any of it. He just was in a situation where he was less inclined to say no, just because it was such a deadline in order to get that done. And he couldn't be at two places at once. So when he relied on Bray Wyatt and Bruce Pritchard to go away and produce the Firefly Funhouse match, he got what he got, and that was it. And then with the Boneyard match, I don't know who was in charge necessarily of producing that. I imagine he may have been around a little bit more for that, but he can't be in two places at once. So what we saw at WrestleMania were things that he could not oversee, just through the sheer fact that he couldn't be in two places at once. So Bray's shit, when it was canned, that's it. It's done. They're obviously on the phone, I imagine, feeding back to him every few seconds because he's a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine he wasn't there. He wasn't in two places at once. He was not at the Boneyard match and at the Firefly Funhouse match.
Do you think that most of the people are just afraid to like go to him and say shit? Like, it seems like it takes somebody that has a pair of balls to almost not care. And that's the only way it gets through to him.
Yeah,
which I would be thrilled if you were there, because you're the kind that doesn't really care if you work there for a month or a year and this isn't your world dream. So you could go, I'm going to go fucking shake them up and, you know, respectfully, obviously, and say, you're fucking wrong and this is what should be done. And if you get fucking shit canned, who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, but that's coming from a different perspective in terms of for me, it's a double-sided coin in terms of I could never fully enjoy the experience of being there because I'd be leaving a child behind and it would reduce my time with him. So it'd be dream versus obligation. And it's an obligation that I enjoy as well. So there's that. But whereas people who are doing it as their career, you can see why they get into the mode of, Ryan, I won't even try now. I'll just come in and collect my paycheck. This is good money to do fuck all.
Yeah.
Because the boss doesn't care how much work I put in anyway, and they don't end up taking our ideas. So I can imagine you slipping into a comfort zone. I think it would only really be the combination of being a writer with a passion and background in wrestling where you'd really want to speak up and really care enough to improve it. But even at that point, you're getting your money coming through. And if you're somebody who's in their mid-20s or early 30s and you're just, you know, you have a girlfriend and you have an apartment and you don't have kids and it just seems like it could be a very easy job. If you're able to take yourself that motion out of it, mm-hmm. then why would you not sit there for years and just pitch the odd idea here and there and in the end not give a fuck about what's on TV? And that's the thing. Go back to that Zack Ryder thing. Like, I think he stopped giving a fuck because, you know, in the end, he's a guy that can spend £40,000 on a Rhythm and Blue Greg the Hammer Valentine where there were only four made because they never decided to bring it out. And I think for him, that sort of shit became the priority in terms of, I can buy this, I can buy that. And you got to think that as well. Like, he's been there for 11 years. His mortgage is probably paid off and everything. Unless he's been as irresponsible. I mean,
I think he said it was. I thought he said, but then they were talking about, oh, him and the girlfriend want to have to buy a new house to have a bigger room when they want to have kids and this and that. And I'm like, that's the thing with that kind of a job. It's not one of those, yeah, I'll be here for 20 years, retire here. You know, you never know unless you're, you know, the big time guys where, okay, I only got to work 3 years and I'll be set anyway. Who cares?
But with that boss, you got to be like ready in terms of like, you got to be saving your like money. You got to at least have your house paid off.
Yeah.
And a couple of cars.
I've always done that fantasy of, oh, if I work there. And that's the first thing that goes through my head. All right, stockpile like a fucking crazy person and don't do shit. Don't get comfortable because you don't know if this is going to be done, you know, in fucking 4 days.
Did we actually ever, did you pull together a full list of the releases, or was it too difficult with these,
oh,
with them being so staggered?
I could tell you a lot of them because I was getting texts. That's all how I fucking knew it. I was getting texts constantly with updated this and that. Let me get to it. By the way, did you see Brooke doing pull-ups? Brooke Adams doing pull-ups?
No.
I sent that on the group. What's wrong with you? That is the most spectacular thing I've ever seen in my life.
No, I had a nap waiting for you to finish work today.
So here's some right here. Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Dave Finley, Pat Buck, Sean Devari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms.
Okay, Armstrong will be back. Finley will be back.
Kidman? Rotunda?
Kidman and London both work there.
Kidman and Rotunda.
Oh, Rotunda.
I would think. I mean, they seem like they, you know, Billy's been there for quite a while, and Rotunda's a, you know, long time, old time vet.
Yeah, I mean, these are like a lot of like house show guys who put stuff together. But yeah, I imagine they'll come back.
You know who's left is Abyss.
That he must be doing TV matches.
Real interesting thing. Shane Helms, which he could just go with Matt Hardy over there. Lance Storm closed.
But you say that. But you say that. Mm-hmm. And, but then I think to myself, why would they be hiring?
Well, it's for backstage stuff. I think helping with talent and do matches, not obviously wrestle. The interesting thing I found is that Lance Storm closed his wrestling school so he could do this job. And then they shit can him. So you know he had a fucking conversation with Vince saying, for me to do this job, I need to close my school. So I need assurance. You know, one of those things. And then they go, okay, sure. And fuck him.
I didn't even know he was there because he put a tweet out the other day going, if any WWE guys want to reach out to me for help with their matches or whatever, critique, he said. If anybody wants to critique with their matches, reach out. Like, and I'm surprised he was there because he put that tweet out saying, if anybody in the WWE wants me to help critique their matches. But then I always thought, look, the Kidman and Storm and all these people and Finlay, they're fine. But the thing is that, like Bret Hart says, the company, the wrestling's not good at the moment and the company's not in a great spot because he attacked these people and saying that they never drew any money. So he's saying that there should be a Bret Hart and a Shawn Michaels and these guys actually doing the producer roles and the company would do better. But I don't know how that reflects to the writing and the stories and all that. Because I don't think the content of the wrestling content.
Yeah.
I don't think the wrestling content's where they're suffering.
It's interesting. Mike Chioda got let go. He's been there forever.
I think he'll come back. Yeah, I think he'll come back.
The Canellises, who cares? I'm shocked they weren't fucking already gone. And the Colognes, I didn't know they weren't fucking. They were still there. I had no idea.
I think AEW will pick up the Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Gallows and Anderson,
mm-hmm.
EC3 and Rusev.
You don't think Spud with him?
Yeah, I would think so. I think he would. I mean, with Drake Maverick putting out that kind of status, you would think that he holds out hope for going back.
Yeah,
it's funny because Gallows and Anderson almost got the right send off in their boneyard.
Yeah. And do you think Rowan gets with what's his face? Brody.
No, I think that's a WWE guy. I don't think that. I think the kind of people that they'll rehire is the people that they feel are underutilized and wasted. But the weird thing is Lana and Rusev are now split up in terms of being at different companies. But the thing is they always had the same contract. So this now leads me to believe that they what's that you've sent? Is that the same thing?
I sent you the Brooke
Adams. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. Oh, okay. I've seen it since. Yeah, because I follow that website. what's interesting is that the deals were the same. So did she re-sign or is she waiting for it to like run out?
I thought she was making more. Didn't she say that she got more than he did?
Oh, absolutely not. No, that wouldn't be true.
I would hope not.
Because he got a main event level deal, I think, around about the time where he was getting pushed. But that was before they were... it was around about the time that he would have been one of the first five-year ones that he got when he came in. So, when he did the whole big tag at Mania and stuff, mm-hmm. that 5 years has gone by quickly. Because that 5 years is done. That deal is over.
Jesus.
That 5 year deal is like done. So,
how about they did an angle actually this week, which might be a way to get her off. Sarah Logan with her arm breaking, and now she's let go.
Yeah, that's why I almost feel like they knew. Not. Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm okay. Is Kairi Sane not on this list?
No, she's still there.
She'll be gone soon.
You think so, huh?
Her deal's coming up and she doesn't want to remain there any longer, I don't think.
Yeah, they just throw her around at this point where she's always the one that fucking loses the match every fucking time.
Yeah, that's what they do when people are not in deals. That's what was happening with or coming towards the end of deals. That's what happening with the Revival. So I'm surprised they bought Rusev and Lana back that close to the end of their deals. But in the end, when Rusev wasn't signing, they weren't keeping him on for the last 3 months of TV. I don't even know if they needed to release him or whether he was going to come to the end of his deal anyway. The weirdest thing is, and here's a technicality, if you let your deal run out, like Matt Hardy, you can go and work somewhere the next day. But if you get released, you can't work anywhere for 90 days. So by releasing Rusev, they made his wait to go anywhere else longer because his deal, I think, was going to expire at the end of the month. So by him negotiating his release, he probably thought, A, I stand to get a bigger payoff, and B, I don't need to wrestle anywhere else in the next 90 days anyways. I think AEW would be dumb to bring anybody else in with no crowd. They already bought Brody Lee and Matt Hardy in with no crowd reaction. So I don't know why you'd want to do any more.
Yeah, you'd almost, I want to save it, and who the fuck knows how long.
But they got that pay-per-view they keep like pushing back, that Double or Nothing. Apparently they're going to be, you know, they're supposed to be in Vegas. When is it? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, and they said they don't know where they're going now, though.
Yeah, but even so, like, their show still looks better than WWE. No matter, even though WWE started shooting it the other way around, and even though we went through Mania and everything, somehow AEW are beating them in production for that Wednesday compared to Raw. It just looks better. And still with the people in the crowd and all that, with all the things that they're doing, all the rules they're breaking, I don't know why Vince is so against this idea of having people in the crowd. At least the wrestlers or whatever, or production or whatever AEW are using. It's just that little bit of sound and the generally better production just makes it much better show.
It does. Just a couple people making noise. I kind of like that. And I remember I was the first person to be like, fuck that, when we even talked about it. And now I'm like, oh, fuck, I wish.
I mean, his mentality's got to be, I'm not having this look like an indie show. Has to be.
Yeah, and see, it would have that intimate. Yeah, and he's got a freaked out thing about indies. So maybe that's
exactly
why.
He's got a freaked out thing about wrestling. But the thing is that...
exactly. Don't say wrestling. It's embarrassing.
But the weirdest thing is there's nothing more wrestling than just doing 3 hours of wrestling. Like, he now has the opportunity to do more content. And I don't just mean like airing like old matches and shit, but like there's so much stuff that they own on the network in terms of documentary content and chronicle content and old and new stuff, like in terms of even the stuff they shot with Edge and Christian, like that kind of jokey shit that they did on that show they've done. I mean, there's so much stuff you can put in. You can go to Instagram and pick up stuff, and like that video that you like of them all getting changed. Like, I mean, you could turn the TV show into a variety show.
Oh, by far. They could do a lot of shit that they don't do. But that's, I think, Vince losing it.
I can't bear any more of this wrestling with like no people. I fast forward through. I'm finishing it in nearly an hour.
I'm shocked it's even an hour. Yeah, it's I mean, my only joy during wrestling is I play Madden at the same time. So it's kind of like background. I have it on. I could see it. But during those fucking superstar matches, I don't fucking look at this fucking screen. And now the PC correct with all the fucking little pussy fans that yell when fucking Jerry Lawler says somebody's a Taiwan Roman noodle move. I mean, give me a break. And they literally got upset because he said it's a fucking ramen noodle. And the guy's Chinese or whatever the fuck he is.
That's
Japanese.
That's the problem with a fucking fan base.
Oh, fuck. It's fucking bad.
That's a problem that we had in terms of when we tried to do our news and we took the approach of all these other guys that you believe in are wrong, and we attacked everybody. Mm-hmm. And we weren't PC, and our podcast continued to talk about continued to take a negative slant towards the women's revolution and saying it wouldn't work and all this kind of shit. You know, we come on our shows and we say nigger and faggot and whatever we wanted to do. We weren't going to change the show because we started to get mainstream exposure, because the show needs to be different from all the other fucking shit that's out there. But everybody else that has a larger platform, they all do the same kind of news. It's a saturated fucking market with Meltzer and Saturn. But the thing is that
they try to be reporters and make serious.
But after we did what we did, if you listen to the shows that Meltzer does now, and a lot of the stuff is on YouTube, he absolutely hammers them, and he's all like this shit and fuck and all this stuff that Meltzer wasn't fucking saying like 5 years ago. So it's almost like he decided to take a different stance from what everybody else is doing, whereas like someone like Saturn, who now works for the company, is now up everybody's ass completely.
Oh, totally. He's Mr. fucking self-righteous and, you know, standing on a soapbox. This is intolerable, this kind of behavior. And it's like, oh, fucking spare me. It really screams, daddy, look at me.
But he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything about the fact that they're carrying on with the fucking filming. Like, if he
there won't be anything controversial that he says ever now.
No, there's absolutely, if he can't talk about it, it's completely transparent that he would have said something about this had he been on his own still.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden he doesn't say anything about it at all.
It's daddy love me and everything's great. You do the best job ever. He's one of the, he's like the Trump kiss ass, you know, whatever you want to hear, sir. He's one of the stooges, Mr. McMahon. You're right, sir.
I'm trying to see what he has said. No, he's just going through. He's just going through the releases. He's just retweeted everybody.
Mm. God.
Yeah, he hasn't got the guts. He's seeing all these like many people released, but he's absolutely completely missed the announcement of WWE being an essential business.
And that they happen to, give all the money to the fucking Florida and the re-elect Trump fucking campaign and all this kind of shit, and just happen to then get to be a essential business. He doesn't mention any of that?
No, he doesn't talk about it, because how can you say anything?
Of course not.
Bray Wyatt's tweeted yuck today.
I saw him tweet 3 black hearts.
Saturn should lose his job during this time.
Yeah, he's not essential either. And he's fucking inaccurate. Mr. Fact Check over there.
Yeah, I don't think he has a job with him, really. I think he's just
Did Saturn get that Pop-Tarts commercial? I thought I saw him on there. You guys have Pop-Tarts commercials over there?
No.
I'm going to have to send it to you. I could swear he's on this commercial for pretzel Pop-Tarts. You'll understand when I send it to you. Everyone in America is laughing right now, though.
No, he's completely avoided the whole fucking thing.
Shocking.
Really enjoyed the Money in the Bank conversation this week on Baxter. Yeah, he's just a fucking kiss ass.
Oh, God, he's doing that. Oh, hey, guys, I liked your show. Oh, fuck. Oh, there's never going to be hey, how come you didn't talk about yada yada?
During COVID-19 press briefing, DeSantis commented on allowing WWE Sports with a national audience to resume filming and without fans. Says people are starved for content while stuck indoors at the moment, particularly when it comes to sports. So all he's doing is just stating the facts around it, but not talking about it at all. Whereas everybody else is kind of saying this is fucking nuts. But yeah, he's just... I can't even remember what my point was before I even started talking about that. I have no idea. I have no idea what point I was making when I was trying to list off these people originally when I was talking about...
Oh, you were saying who's going to AEW.
No, I got off that, I think. Shit, it's going to bug me.
Do we have anything else to add? I mean, we've done 45 minutes.
No, not really, other than me wanting to find what the point was of talking about that anyway.
It's the relapse of Corona, that's all.
No, I think I just, when I started talking about that dickhead, I just think I went off into a different direction. But there was a point to what I was saying.
It's either him or Derek, which I don't know if you want to address now or next week.
Oh, you can address that.
Oh.
And give me time to think.
Well, as you heard in the beginning of the show, Derek did mention Billy on his show this week, and I'm going to have to pull clips for the next week where I am 100% sure he listens and hears what we laugh about with him sucking Drew's dick and making up that Drew wants me to fucking be at WrestleMania. And he really, and the love that we share, because he did not gush as much. There was a couple moments, but he did not even come close to what the fuck he did at the Rumble. And this is him winning the title. So you know he was like, I gotta fucking calm down so I don't get fucking blasted by us, you know?
So Derek's made me remember my point now, because my point what I was talking about was when we came out and did the news and people didn't like the way we did it.
Sure.
So that's, and that really opened my eyes to these kind of wrestling fans. And the thing is that these fucking steel cage nerds, they've had to evolve with it, because they've decided, because I got them the little taste of being relevant in terms of bringing these guests on and rubbing shoulders with these people, they've decided to clean up their fucking podcast. Because if you noticed, when you had the unfortunate responsibility of having to listen to it, to dig up these clips.
And by the way, Nick says, why do you listen to the show? And I go, oh, don't get it twisted. I listen to the Rumble post and I listen to Mania post to pull clips of Derek sucking Drew's dick. That's the only time I fucking listened. So,
well, they've absolutely cleaned it up in terms of no one's saying anything sexist or homophobic or perverted.
You're
or
right. Anything you know, at you're all. Right.
Because they think they're a real fucking show, even though their numbers have probably gone down the toilet since I left. But they now think that they're a real fucking show, and they think they're real friends with people like Drew and Ryan Satin and all these other people, because
that fucking half chink was on the show this week too, actually.
See, they would never say that.
Of course not. That's why I made sure to say it. But yeah, that piece of garbage, that fucking pile of dog shit, who I'd be happy to go fucking buy an ice cream cone when if there is a fucking Mania next year, I hope I get to fucking meet him. The same as I'm gonna meet them.
They will not go to the Mania in LA.
You don't think fucking HTJ's going to LA for Mania? I do. It's too close. He could drive there.
But what was the one he couldn't afford to get to? He hasn't been able to afford to go for the last 2 years. What about him begging for food?
No shit. Begging for food. This is my daughter's school is giving us, this is the food for the day. I don't believe that's food for the day. There's 800 milks. They give this kid fucking 6 milks a day. And his little bag of fucking bullshit. And yeah, and he's like,
I appreciate it as somebody
much appreciated. For someone who's, down and out, doesn't have their job anymore, it's appreciated. He can't get past those fucking teeth when he talks. Looks like a fucking frog and a jackass fucked and had him. You see that picture I always post with just his face all close up?
Well, he's the header on the man show at the moment. Him sleeping there.
Oh, but. Oh, the sleeping one is on the man show?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But that's it. They are the
elf on a shelf.
They are the representation of the fans now. And these type of fans that complain about everything. They actually, and Umar actually hit it on the head, nail on the head, where he said, oh, they watch to complain. Or they watch to fucking find shit to complain about. And that's why you end up getting the safe show, which is just all fucking wrestling and wrestling and wrestling and wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. Because they did that Lana and Lashley thing and people complained. Jerry Lawler says something that's neither funny or offensive, but people find a way to complain. It's just like, I mean, they're not going to, but if I was them, I'd have him just fucking make more like dumb racial jokes and have his gimmick be like he's an old senile racist.
Yeah, he could be. He could be.
At least it makes the commentary like bearable.
He could be All in the Family. He could be Carol O'Connor and do that kind of stuff. But if they apologize and shit, I'm gonna be so fucking pissed off because it's like, oh, you PC motherfuckers! Instead of going, calm the fuck down. You know, they got to allude to it while not apologizing. That's what they got to fucking do. Like, fuck this. Like they said, attitude error never happened, and that's what Cornette was saying. He's like, that's, this would never fucking, they complain about good shit or any of this stuff. That's why we don't get anything good, because you'd all complain. People who listen to this show, I don't think are fucking complaining, though.
Well, I mean, they could be. They could be just going back to whoever or whatever. Like there are people that just go between to here and there. Mm-hmm. Or, but I mean, there's just no point now. I mean, the next thing that will happen is that you can tell already. I'm not even going to talk about it too much, but I'll go and do some. How am I going to even say this? I'll go and do some big thing or some like interview that gets exposure in the next. Mm-hmm. Couple of weeks, because I have some stuff on the horizon, and they'll contact those people and say, oh, how did you have this guy on?
Yes.
But fortunately, I don't think it's going to make any difference. But that's even though there are listeners, they will still do that, because I think even we have a portion of listeners who are just listening so that they can fucking given the opportunity. I think what it is that everybody likes to have a voice, and everybody likes to have their little moment of relevancy. Mm-hmm. And if it can be like, oh, I stirred this shit between these two people, that's all they want to do. Like, they just want to see, they just want to get in on the conversation. They just want the most hearts on their comment.
Like, oh, that's, yeah. That's, how many that's likes did sad. I get? Yeah.
Like, even if you're an absolute nobody, like, if you can still get like 6 or 7, like that will still be your like source of happiness. Like every little like you get will still be your source of happiness. Like it's the way my 9-year-old looks at his Instagram.
Well, it's those people too that have on their bio, Alexa Bliss liked my tweet and has the date near it. And it's like, got a reply from this person with a date. And it's like, oh my God. Wait, Jesus
there's
Christ.
There's accounts that are like that.
Yeah, they're like in love, and they're like, oh, I mean, I understand it if it's a 10-year-old, not when it's a fucking 20-something-year-old. And you know what? Derek is one of those people that's the, you know, heavens to Murgatroyd and clutches pearls and go tell. Because when me and you hooked up, he fucking, remember on the show, he was like, how could you, you know, talk to that guy? He's awful, this and that. You know, it was like, he's trying to say not to fucking talk to me. So he's one of the, like, he get all fucking weird. It's a weird thing. I got to pull up his fucking interviews from on my Patreon. I have the interview back then. I could pull out some clips where he's talking about, you know, being an old perv spying on Lana. Because that's the whole fucking interview.
That content is totally gone now. Like, in terms of... See, I didn't even realize before... I only realized in the last 6 to 8 weeks through being on the Instagram and stuff and doing stuff with Austin's new account. Actually, that's not even that old. I think that's only about, I think it only started around WrestleMania time or the week before. But regardless, sorry, maybe I've just, this quarantine makes things feel a lot longer. Yeah, I didn't know that like Natalia and Sonya Deville and people like that had hardcore fans. Like people will support people like Natalia, and it will be like
their whole Twitter name is out of Natalia Love Fest and shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's loads for Becky and Rollins and Beck Rollins and these sites like that. Like in terms of like couple, there's loads of like couple accounts for them, which is weird in itself. Like I don't know how you get obsessed with a couple and want to create a whole account for them or whatever. But there are losers out there. There are big losers out there that you wouldn't. Just the stuff that you wouldn't, just because you wouldn't do it doesn't mean that somebody isn't that dedicated to it.
I saw someone, a loser tweet today. somebody posted Mandy doing one of her little TikTok dance things, right? And someone said, "You're well on your way to becoming the next Trish Stratus." And so someone commented, and the name on the account was Trish and Lita Tag Team Forever. And she tagged Trish three times in the fucking paragraph where she said, "Mandy will never be TrishStratus.com. She doesn't have mic skills like TrishStratus.com. And she will always be Mandy, but she will never be TrishStratus.com." It's like, holy fuck. And her picture is Trish. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, fucking crap. It's fucking strange, man. That's why I'm like, I was embarrassed. I took the girlfriend to wrestling. And it's like, I'm like, they're not all like this. All these people. I'm like, shit.
Have you seen this girl, this black girl from who got released from NXT, MJ Jenkins?
I don't know.
So basically he says MJ Jenkins has announced that she received a release from WWE. Sadly, she also noted that her brother-in-law has passed away from COVID. She tweeted, "COVID-19 has been devastating for me and my family. My brother-in-law, who was my legal guardian, passed away to COVID-19. Today, COVID-19 stripped me of my dream job. Feels like life is being sucked from me. Thank you to everyone that has reached out. Be safe and stay strong." She'll get a job. She's black, and someone died, and she lost her job. So I think she'll get a job.
Jeez. On that, do you want to finish this out? We've done about an hour.
I got 56 on my phone, but yeah. I suppose you got to add.
You want to get up 4 minutes? That's fine, too.
Is there anything you need to add into this, or is that
no? It's gonna be we got the intro and everything like that, so I figure we've given them enough, and it's pretty much just everybody being fucking fired. We'll probably have more of a list next week.
I don't think it's over, but I do feel that I feel like it's gonna be quite permanent though for some people. Like some are going to come back to WWE, some are going to go to AEW, but there is a middle group of that where it's quite permanent. For example, I don't see Rowan.
I was going to say, yeah, fucking Rowan.
But that's not the only one. There's a few there. Like there's quite a few there where, like, he, you know, where's Heath Slater going to go? Is he going to go to AEW and be a comedy character? I think
he's going on the independents, and he's going to juice up on steroids so he can get big like Jinder and fucking Drew and try to win a title. That was another one I'm surprised isn't gone, Jinder.
Well, I think you could come back and maybe do something with him.
Just with Drew, he could do something.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he's injured as well. So I mean,
yeah, he's coming back from that.
It's almost lucky that, because I mean, if he was continuing to go down the card and they had him like wrestling in main event or whatever, mm-hmm. then I think there would have been a reason to get rid of him. Did those things survive with him?
I believe so. I haven't seen their names.
No. See, like you said, though, it could be more. So I just feel that like. That there's really nothing else that you can do other than this at the moment. I mean, if this is a case of you negotiate the release and it does save you a ton of money or whatever, then you just do it. And then if you can just hire anyone back that you want and take the risk that AEW doesn't want. Because I mean, someone like Rusev, he would have had to be in negotiations for a while and to the point where they've now released him because they know that they've just offered everything. And he's been
trying to get out too.
Oh yeah. If he's just at the stage where he's like, fuck this company. But a lot, it's going to be a lot more of this. It's going to be in terms of, I'm not talking about releasing, I'm talking about the product with no fans. It's going to be week after week after week of this. I really would be surprised if this isn't the new normal in terms of like the rating. Like, because all of a sudden when they get back into a crowd, you're going to get an initial pop, but uh-huh. You're also going to get people that miss 4 or 5 weeks or do start watching this and fast forward, and they may never come back. They may never be 3-hour Raw people again. Yeah, they might come back for the week you have a crowd, but even then, can you imagine when it comes back and 1 hour in, like, I'm texting you and be like, yeah, I'm bored.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee you that fucking happens. We're going to be all excited for fucking 2 minutes.
And yeah, like, they don't even book anything good on the week they come back.
Yeah, you would think almost they're saving like this person's going to show up, all that kind of stuff for that first.
The thing is, they're not saving stuff because Rollins and Drew was something where it should have been in a bigger arena, and it was like a proper feud where I thought that Rollins lost at Mania. I knew Rollins and Drew was the plan after Mania because I said it to you. But then I said that, like, I don't think they're going to do it because I think Kevin Owens, by looking at the build-up, it was obvious Kevin Owens is going to win, which made it obvious to me that they're not wasting this match because they're going in a different direction. Maybe even Drew Owens, which is a lesser match, but they're not. They're still keeping track. Like, the guy comes off a loss. The inside information I have is that they're actually, as dumb as they are, apparently this is not, I don't know what they have done officially, but apparently next week they are going to, they are not going to put Rollins in off the back of that loss. So he's either going to get the win back or he's going to win something to get this title shot, which is stupid because it's back to the Shayna Baszler thing where she won the chamber after she attacked Becky. That's the dumb thing that they are.
Yeah, because it's like, I wonder where it's going. I wonder if I'll get the guy.
We'll leave it on that note. I'll just say that. Apparently, okay, they're not going to have it, as in he stomped Drew and then he gets a shot, because that does mean the way you get title shots against Drew McIntyre is to slap him or stomp him or do, and then he's like, because the way that people have been getting title shots is so dumb. Like, yeah. Roman asked Goldberg, a tag team that never was, challenged the Street Profits. Daniel Bryan got shot by Drew Gulak winning a match against Nakamura. Drew got slapped and he gave a title shot away. Strowman came in as a replacement when his last match was a loss for the Intercontinental title. I mean,
that's a good fucking track record right there. Jesus Christ.
You've just literally got people asking or do it or slapping or kicking.
That's unreal.
It's terrible what it is. Jesus. All right, now you can close up.
All right, well, you've been listening to The Wrestling Show with Kev Manning and Mr. Billy Body. Join us next week when we'll continue on this wild roller coaster that is called Wrestling with No Fans.
Wait, how did those four women get a title shot at Bayley at Mania as well?
Oh, like, there you go. That was Paige gave it. Like, Paige had any fucking stroke. Well, she has stroke, but not in that way. So she just said, you guys do. And that's the end of it. Baby girl. So, all right. I'm Kev. He's Billy. We're out of time.